Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, and so excited to kick off Women's History Month and celebrate International Women's Day, which is March 8th, on our program today. We're also celebrating the anniversary of the country of Ghana, which turned 57 years old yesterday. March 6th was Ghana's celebration day. And I just found that out this week. It's kind of a happy coincidence. My guest today is Alice Grau. She is the creative director for Global Mamas, and she began with Global Mamas as a volunteer back in 2008 as a volunteer in Cape Coast. And I have applied to be a volunteer with Global Mamas and hope to go there this year. I'm so excited to welcome Alice onto my show. How are you doing, Alice?
I'm well, Brenda. How are you?
Good. Well, thanks for calling in.
Absolutely.
There's just been a lot happening this week with the big anniversary of Ghana as a country and then International Women's Day. What are you all doing to celebrate with Global Mamas?
Yes. Well, we have our offices, of course, all closed down on Independence Day, and all of the our co-workers and the women usually participate in activities around the cities. So the cities will have parades and activities, and our volunteers will go and participate in that with them. It's just a great way for them to all get together and bond and just be a part of the celebrations in the cities.
So it's sort of like our July 4th, is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And are there typically certain foods, or it's a very celebratory day, I would assume. What kind of things do you remember from when you were there?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it's like ours, about getting together as family, and the Ghanaian culture is already so family-oriented that, you know, it's not too much of a change from their normal everyday, but they will usually eat a meal together. You know, they'll take fufu, which is the national dish supposedly of Ghana, which is it's mashed plantain and cassava that's mashed to a point where it's kind of gelatinous almost, and then they take that with a soup. And usually they will share it together from one bowl, kind of as a communal sign of bonding. And so often they'll take that a lot of days, but it is a special time to take it for Independence Day and just to get together and you know, be friends. And you'll see all of the cute kids in their school uniforms marching in parades around their area and in their school courtyards. It's pretty fun.
Oh, neat. So how did you first hear about Global Mamas? And, you know, were you searching for an experience to go to Africa? How did you discover what was called and is still called Women in Progress, the nonprofit organization?
Yeah, what happened for me was I was actually going to Ghana on a missions trip with my church at the time. I was living in New York, working for Sears and Kmart as a designer in their design offices there, and was going to go on this missions trip with my church in my vacation time, and while I was researching Ghana, happened to come across, you know, I was reading about their rich textile history and the fact that after Ghana gained its independence in the 50s, the president then, Kwame Nkrumah, established basically a completely functioning textile industry within the country. And they had, you know, large production factories and a lot going on, everything from growing the fabric to the sewing of it, or the growing of the cotton to the sewing of the fabric. And this rich history, you know, basically was challenged in the 70s because they couldn't compete with the, you know, cheapening markets in Asia, and they didn't have the high-quality manufacturing equipment anymore. And I just became really fascinated by this history, and as I kept digging deeper, and I was already very interested in fair trade apparel production, and so kind of researching that alongside it, and by marrying those two, learning about fair trade and Ghana's textile history, I stumbled upon Global Mama's website and learned about their volunteer program, and applied to go and quit my job and went and volunteered with them for 4 months.
Wow, and that's a pretty long period of time, 4 months. What was some of your initial reactions when you got there? I mean, you can do some preparation and learn about the country ahead of time, but there's mm-hmm. always a little bit of culture shock when you go to any country. So what were some of the things that surprised you, things you expected or things you didn't expect?
That's a really great question. Some of the things that surprised me the most, I think, is the, or even though I had read about it, it still really caught me off guard, was just the slower pace of life. Everything is done much more, I won't say casually, because the people work very hard, but just their priorities are set differently. You know, like I said, family is very important, and taking care of each other is very important, and so there's not this stress of things have to get done right now at this time. You know, there's a bit of a, it's a bit more relaxed. You know, if you set a meeting with someone and they'll say, okay, I will meet you at 1:32. You know, they give you a broad range of time that they might be there, and they will still probably be late, and that's completely acceptable. And so that was an adjustment for me coming from living in New York, where everything had to be done in 2 seconds or less. I would say adjusting to that, adjusting to, you know, again, coming from New York, where people barely even look at each other, to a culture where you greet everyone. You know, you pass by and it's quite rude if you don't at least say good morning or good afternoon. So I think those are the two things that stick out to me most immediately, thinking back that long ago.
That's interesting. I mean, I experienced that just moving from the high-stress area of Washington, D.C. to Colorado, and Colorado
yeah.
had sort of a more relaxed, slower pace of life, but, you know, not as much stress. People were happier and more involved with each other, and now living in the Midwest, it's very communal here, and you know, that you have that sense of community and caring for your neighbor and knowing your neighbors
yeah.
and, you know, not anything
yes,
I experienced
exactly.
back east, that's for sure. So you had a background with apparel design. So
yeah.
what things were you able to do with the women that make the clothing and do the batiking?
My initial project actually started out because part of my job working with Sears and Kmart was to do textile design, and obviously that's a big part of Global Mamas. So that was one of my main projects coming in, was to work on new ideas for textiles for the following year. So I, you know, spent time working with the batikers, cutting out new stamps and getting to go to their workshops, teaching them some different techniques, things that I had come across in my time doing design that they hadn't tried before, or getting to really, that is one of my favorite parts still to this day, is getting to sit in their workshops and process things with the producers. But getting to go through, just to learn their art form, to sit down and cut out the stamps and heat up the wax and mix the dye and, you know, figure out how we're going to lay out the stamp design and, you know, what dye goes first, and just going through that process. And it's quite a long process, because you, it's a layered design. So you start out with one color. You completely, you know, stamp the design and then dye all of the cloth that one color. And then you have to dry it. And then you have to stamp on your next layer and dye the cloth again. And so depending on how many colors you're going for, you have to go through this process, you know, maybe three times. So it can take all day. So you really get to bond with people during that time.
Wow.
And, yeah, so that was fun. And then I also, again, another part of my job that I had really learned a lot with Sears and Kmart was how to do fit, how to, you know, sitting in fit sessions and watching a product be fit on a live model. And that wasn't part of my project at all coming in. But as a customer going into, we have a retail store in Ghana, you know, and a lot of the volunteers buy stuff and tourists buy things. And then, of course, we sell the products overseas. So I was in the store trying on some things, and no two garments fit me the same. And so I reached out to the co-founders and asked them if they would be okay if I did a fit review, which I did, and readjusted all of the fit specifications and, you know, created a standard of fit for Global Mamas and, you know, regraded all of our patterns. And then on top of that, I also worked on some new product designs, which going out and then sewing, instead of with the batikers, I was working with the seamstresses and walking them through a new product and how that worked. So that's a quick summary of the three main things that I did.
So I think your story illustrates that a U.S. businesswoman going to Ghana with certain business skills is able to not only develop her own skills with learning about another culture and another way of making a product, but then is able to teach skills that we may have here and standards of design or whatever to the women there. Is that correct? So it's sort of a real cross-cultural exchange of knowledge.
Yeah, it's very collaborative.
Mm-hmm. Very collaborative.
You're
I love
exactly
that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, so you grew up in Michigan, I understand.
I did.
Yeah. So, did you have early influences of other cultures? Because I think I grew up in New England, and quite frankly, we were not very ethnically diverse in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. But my sister lived in Ghana, and when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, she was living there with her husband. Worked for Firestone. And they were raising children. They were in Ghana for part of the time, in South Africa, and then later on in India. But the years she was in Ghana, she was bringing home the beautiful carved wood statues and face masks and the batik clothing. And really that's what introduced me to the culture. And had my sister not been going back and forth, I'm not sure if I when and if I ever would have learned about Ghana. But you know, I think it always kept a little, it definitely sparked my imagination as a child about that culture and wanting to travel there someday. And so this whole experience of even finding Women in Progress and applying to go be a volunteer with Global Mamas is just really a dream come true for my entire life. But what influences did you have in terms of fair trade or other cultures or Africa in general? Growing up,
yeah, that story is really wonderful, and I love that it's just coming full circle for you in that way. That's really exciting. And my influence or inspiration, I guess, wasn't quite as specific to Ghana, but for where I grew up in Michigan, a town called Kalamazoo, and it's really the reason why it is so diverse for it being quite a small town is. Western Michigan University is there and Kalamazoo College. And then, of course, we're kind of the crossroads on a main highway between Chicago and Detroit. And there's quite a few hospitals and pharmaceutical businesses, and Stryker is a big hospital supplier there. So there's big companies there that bring in talent from around the globe. And so as early as elementary and middle school, I was really getting to meet people from around the world who, you know, were just coming to live in Kalamazoo while their parents were stationed working there or working at the university or going to the university. And so, I mean, I still remember having you know, global culture days, you know, in our lunchroom. And, and you know, I was so unimpressed by my own global culture. I would always jump on somebody else's. I mean, one year I dressed up with my friend from Thailand and, you know, learned to dance and helped her present Thailand. And another year with my friend from Malaysia. And, you know, I was just so interested. And, you know, swapping lunches, I would bring my peanut butter and jelly and swap it for, you know, a nice peanut sauce on rice, you know, that. And so just really early learning to appreciate the fact that there are differences in cultures, and the differences don't make them wrong or weird or whatever, but just make them interesting and make them special. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that each of us has something really integral about us that comes from, you know, where our family came from, and we mm-hmm. can carry that with us. And so I just, from early on, became really interested in different cultures and learning about other peoples and, you know, just the way that different places lived and worked. And so that started really young for me, but I really didn't get to, you know, do much with it, and of course, until I got older and was able to spread my wings a bit and travel.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea of global culture days, and I think that's something we should really promote to school teachers and parents to mm-hmm. have those, because, you know, exposing kids to young ages to other cultures does spark their creativity and their interest. And I know here in St. Louis, where I'm based now, we do have a fairly good-sized African culture, and we have mm-hmm. African festivals, and I know I've gone to those where they sell the shea butter that's, you know, pure and natural and
yes.
from Africa and not filled with all these toxic chemicals that a lot of our U.S.-made
yeah.
products are filled with. And just the clothing and of course, the beads are what really spark my creativity, because I make jewelry. But to meet people that are bringing the products over.
Oh, did I lose you?
Sorry, I'm not sure if you were hearing me there. I think we lost connection for a minute. We had some technical difficulties, but I was saying that I wore a dress yesterday from Ghana that my sister had given me, and she had held on to it for about 40 years. It was one of her most favorite special dresses, and that she was able to, you know, part with that special treasure, but it was just so much fun to get dressed up and wear that, and people, you know, want to know more about, you know, where the dress came from, and I think we all can encourage that cultural history. We're having some technical difficulties. I'm going to have to call in on another line, so just bear with us for a minute here. Sometimes technology is not always perfect, so we'll just take a brief station identification and listen to some music here.
Okay, we're back live here on Alive to Thrive. We had a little technical glitch there, and sorry for that. I just kind of kept talking, and we lost our guest, and I lost my other line. So, Alice, are you still with us?
I am back.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. There are some
technical
difficulties sometimes with Blog Talk.
I
guess you're used to that, being in another country. Tell us about that experience, about being there and away from technology and the internet and phone systems. I mean, were you able to call home very much when you were there?
Yes, that is the one nice thing as far as Ghana's technological advancement. Even when I was there in 2008 through 2009, the cell phone service was great. You could, everybody had cell phones. It was easy to get them cheaply. You could, you know, pretty much call from anywhere, at least as long as you were in, you know, a pretty well populated area. And so I didn't have any problem with phone calls. Internet service wasn't great when I was there. It's gotten a lot better since. But we lived in a house with no, still the volunteer house doesn't have internet. But people will take advantage of nearby Wi-Fi services. But it's kind of nice still to have that place that you can escape to where you can't get on the internet. You know, I found that really refreshing. And
that will be a big challenge
for
me. it was really interesting. The other day I had misplaced my phone, and I had left it at a store at a mall that was closed. And when I finally figured out where my phone was, I had just heard a message at my church that said, you know, you have to sort of ask the question in your prayer meditation time, what do I need to be in order to, say, manifest or create, you know, whatever your goal is, and what is it I need to learn? And so when I had misplaced my phone, I thought, wow, maybe this is a lesson that I need to learn to start detaching from technology, because I know when
right.
I go to Africa, that's going to be a completely different ball game. And for someone that does a lot of social media and marketing, that will probably be my challenge. But I'll probably love it because it will be nice and peaceful, and I'll get to really focus on some great people. Getting back to Global Mamas, so it started as Women in Progress as a nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
and they developed this brand of products under the name Global Mamas. Tell us
Correct.
About some of the product lines and some of the things that are now being made and shipped around the world.
Great. We started birthing came from the batiking and tie-dyeing and sewing. So the original group of six mamas that helped to co-found the organization were a batiker and five seamstresses, and they were really, I mean, it's, so it's still the core of what we do is the batik work and the sewing, which so we still run in that location and now do sewing in two other sites as well. But out of the batik products, which we make women's, men's, children's, babies, clothes, and then we also make accessories from the batik as well as home decor and pet products. So the batik really infuses across all of our line. And then from that, we took that model of organization and took that to the north where in Krobo, which I guess I can't say north, it's not that far north, it's just more north than the Cape Coast. But Krobo is where the bead making happens. And so, again, this is while Cape Coast really, the batiking had really taken hold there, the bead making was very traditionally and culturally based in the region where Krobo is. And so they were able to find these traditional bead-making families that have passed it down through generations and started, you know, working with them to buy the beads and then have, you know, women that string them in beautiful jewelry, necklaces, earrings, bracelets. Our bracelets we sell really well. And then we've also started, you know, making ornaments and little, we make little African spirits that are like little good luck charms. So that's out of the beads. And then more recently, we moved into making shea butter products, which we sell bulk unrefined shea butter in a variety of sizes for, you know, people who make the soaps and lotions and things artisanally here. And then we also make our own shea butter branded, you know, Global Mamas branded, and then soap products as well for humans and animals.
Wow. And non-toxic and such great quality products, and I really want to encourage people to go to your website, globalmamas.org. You can read more about their story. You can read about the impact and how it's measured, which is fantastic graphics that they have there, and all their annual reports are posted. I mean, it's a very transparent organization, and there is an application link to volunteer in Africa. And then, of course, the shop that we're talking about, where you can shop mm-hmm. online, you can look at all the different products. You can also look up stores that might be near you that might be carrying some of these products. I myself have so excited that I have applied to be a wholesale distributor of these products, and especially through our jewelry business, Butterfly Moon Designs, we'll be bringing that around to different churches and school groups and craft shows, and that will be a way that I can help raise the funds for my program fees. And so what kind of role has, you know, especially I know a lot of churches have done fair trade festivals and things. Are you seeing an increase in that and getting the products to community-based organizations in the U.S.?
Yeah, we are. We're finding a lot of interest in from churches and schools, and I guess they're not specifically a community-based, but they really are in a lot of ways. 10,000 Villages is a really great store that, you know, thrives on community volunteerism, and they're really active in educating communities about fair trade and the fair trade towns and universities. We've been working a lot with them to not only promote the products, but also just to help educate about fair trade. You know, we, was it last year now, I believe, we brought a producer with them, and they went on a tour around. But there's a raising awareness and interest in what fair trade does and, you know, what its purposes are and the byproduct of it, the products.
Mm-hmm. And I think there has been greater awareness about not wanting to buy products that are made in certain countries that are using children or have unfair practices and unfair standards and unhealthy working conditions. So it's fantastic that the women working in this program are able to support their families, help send their kids to school, and just have a livelihood. I just think it's incredible to empower women in other countries. You know, that's just been something that I think people really want to support. And and so the volunteers that travel there, how many volunteers a year go on the average? I know there's probably high and low, but how many a year typically travel to Ghana?
It kind of hovers between the around the 50 range.
And so you're still trying to get the word out to more and more people. And, I mean, it's great. You have a wonderful website. And then the people that are traveling, like myself, what I really liked about your program is that there is a way to have a fundraising page through the Building Prosperity site and raise funds from your friends and family around the country. And you write a personal message, you post your picture, you set a goal, and you can tie it into your social media. And the first day I posted it, which was just a week ago, I believe, over the weekend I got two donations from women in other parts of the country. I don't know them personally, like I've not met them in person, but I know them virtually. They're through Azanta International, which is one of the main women's organizations recognized by the United Nations and has been around for about 100 years. But so these two women supported my goal. So that's just really wonderful. So I think sometimes people think, I can't travel. I can't do this volunteer trip that, you know, they think about it. And it seems like a lofty vision, but it's very doable, especially now with the technology we have available.
You're
how,
right.
How has
You're
technology
absolutely.
Played a role? Do you think the majority of volunteers have raised money through the websites,
the
fundraising pages?
Well, the Building Prosperity is actually new this year, and so we're just sort of linking that in. But what we've used in the past, we had a RASBU site, which was structured pretty similarly that a lot of the volunteers used. And, yeah, we do find that quite a few use that. And then also our, you know, just sort of utilizing their personal networks as well. That's when I was volunteering, or was getting ready to volunteer, I sent out a personal letter to everyone I knew, anyone I thought that might give me some money. So, and was able to raise all of my funds that way, you know, from $10 here, $5 there, $400 here, and was just incredibly blessed by an outpouring of people who I think are doing what you're saying, people who want so badly to do something like that but think, oh, I can't do it myself because I'm worried about the risks or I can't afford it or, you know, and so they're willing to support somebody else to do it, to kind of live vicariously through your activities.
Mm-hmm. And I think just, you know, since I've been talking about it in the last couple of weeks, it's sparking interest in other people to take steps and towards their dreams, whether
yes.
it's starting their own nonprofit or, you know, just stepping out of their comfort zone and
yeah.
trying something new and knowing that they can have an impact, whether it's in their own local community or traveling overseas to another country. So it's
Absolutely.
Just all around great thing to be able to showcase people doing this and then support them financially if that's, you know, we used to call it back in the day when I did fundraising for nonprofits, checkbook activists, you know, like you said, they can't
exactly.
travel themselves. They may be working and can't get away. In fact, I think that's when I first started looking into this program was my full-time job had ended and I thought, okay, I'm free now. I'm finally free. I can maybe go on one of these trips somewhere. And, you know, Peace Corps seemed too long of a time period to go
mm-hmm.
for a couple of years, but a couple of weeks or a month or two
right.
certainly seemed doable. And on your website, again, I want to redirect people back to globalmamas.org. There are some wonderful videos that are also posted on YouTube with some of the women that are the designers and producers of the Global Mama products. And that's really neat, too, just to get real personal with them, get to know them. And I like the area that shows the still photos of the women in the program. I actually have printed those out, some of those out, and I'm starting to paint 16 by 20s. I just started taking painting classes a couple of years ago, and I'm painting them, and I'm hoping to sell prints as another way to raise money
oh,
for my
fun.
Trip. So I'm really
yeah.
getting to study their faces. It's going to be neat when they're done.
When you get to meet
them
in person.
I know, and say, look, here's your painting that I did for you. So tell us about the women that started the organization, because that's a pretty lofty thing. Two young women who were Peace Corps volunteers decided to start Women in Progress. Tell us about that story.
Yeah, they are two of the most incredible, driven, intelligent women you will ever meet, Kristen Johnson and Renee Adam. And they were in Peace Corps post-college, and Kristen was based in Cape Coast helping to set up a women's credit union, and Renee was based out in a smaller village helping set up a water supply for them, so doing two very different projects. But had just really connected during their time and became really dear friends. And both of them extended onto a third year. And, you know, Renee, of course, from living in the village, you know, really connecting with the Ghanaian family around her, you know, and then Kristen also lived with a Ghanaian family, so she had a really great way to get deeper into the culture and connect with the people, and which is a big part of why I think Peace Corps is so wonderful. You know, you're really engaging with the community and becoming a part of it toward a common goal. And they both met women, and Kristen, through the credit union, met the original six mamas. And they, when they were leaving, you know, were really talking with these women about what sort of thing they needed to help grow their businesses and wanted to provide them with business training. And so that's how Women in Progress evolved, was with the goal of giving these women who now had these bank accounts that they wanted to fill, you know, giving them business training and solutions on how to expand their businesses, hire more women, empower more women. And that's kind of what it grew out of. And as Kristen and Renee moved back to the States, you know, they continued this work with the women to bring back products in their suitcases just to sell to friends and like home parties. And the women really noticed that beyond the business training, having this way to sell their goods to a larger market, because the Ghanaian market doubts for a variety of reasons, and just not as highly interested in locally made products anymore, that these women needed a new market to sell to. And the suitcases weren't enough, and the women said, find us more. And so slowly, you know, Global Mamas, the product line, developed out of that. But then we kept this core of the goal of Women in Progress, which was to, you know, continue to help these women build their businesses by bringing in business and men, and, you know, students and people with skills that they could bring to the women to help them to continue to grow. And, you know, we've got women in all stages of business and all stages of life that, you know, individuals coming over with a variety of experiences are able to really invest in them and help them to grow themselves.
Wow. It's fascinating. I hope I get to meet them at some point. So how many staff people do you have in Ghana right now?
I don't know the exact number, but we're hovering around 50 direct employees, and that involves Renee, who's still based in Ghana, our executive director, and she then, you know, oversees the operations at the various sites. And we have, you know, production managers and quality control officers and a few Western employees that work in Ghana managing the volunteers and the designs. And then we have some in-house producers as well. So all said and done across that, you know, again, including like the women who string the jewelry in Krobo, and they're all direct employees. So that it's about 50.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to take a short break, just a couple of minutes. Stay with us. We're listening. We're talking with Alice Grout, the communications director for creative director for Global Mamas, and also handles a lot of the communications. My name is Brenda Fraser. We'll be right back, and stay with us to learn more about Global Mamas.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser on GGM Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. We're talking with Alice Grau, the creative director for Global Mamas, and we're getting through this interview one way or the other. We've had a few technical glitches, and I apologize, but sometimes technology is not always what it can be. But welcome back, Alice. How are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
Okay. We've had some interesting things on our dashboard here on the computer. So we were talking about how the organization started, and we want to talk a little bit about where it's growing for the future. Tell us the big vision for Global Mamas for 2014 and moving into 2015.
Awesome. That is a great question, because we've really been spending a lot of time focusing on our vision and our direction most recently. And we part of the Building Prosperity campaign that your fundraiser is based on is going toward a larger fundraiser to build Ghana's first fair trade zone. And the goal of this is to create a production setting that's large enough and like what we, you know, typically think of a factory being, where we can host a large amount of activity, batiking and sewing and bead making and shea butter all in one site. And we're looking at hosting around 200 Ghanaian women and creating these 200 jobs that currently don't exist. So it's really building up the capacity and the space to create more products so that we can meet the growing demand and the growing interest. And so right now our focus is really on raising those funds and getting the money to either buy the land or to move into an existing facility to, you know, buy all of the equipment that we need and build into that in a sustainable manner. We're really hoping to focus on using recycled or upcycled items and using, you know, obviously production tools cost money, and getting those things together and buying the space, and if we have to buy land, you know, going that route, raising the funds for that. But really directing our energy and our focus on getting these jobs created, because there's so many women out there that still need the work, and there's still so much growing interest in the product that we really need to catch up. And this is a really great way to do both of those things, to employ those women and make products.
And land is so much cheaper there than it is in
mm-hmm.
the U.S. Is that correct? For
it is.
True for Ghana?
It is. Yes.
Yeah, we helped raise money to buy some land in Uganda for an orphanage that a group of us wanted to start there. There was a woman that had moved to Missouri from Uganda, had been in the States about 20 years, but her parents were still caring for some children there, and they were, you know, all the kids had to sleep outside in thatched huts, basically, and she only originally built one house that just were for the infants, but we ended up, I think we raised a few thousand dollars and had bought several acres of land, and that, you know, it was surprising. And so we'll certainly try to do everything we can to help you raise those funds to build the land and increase building this vision to expand Global Mamas so that those products can get around the world, and also for the women themselves. Tell us the countries that that you currently are shipping to. What countries are carrying Global Mama products?
We have stuff all over the place. We send to, of course, the U.S. and all over the U.S. We have customers in, I would say, most of the states. I would have to actually check to see if we're in all of them, but I'm positive we're in a lot of them. And we are in Brazil, we're in Sweden, we're in Germany, the UK, Australia, Japan. You know, there's Global Mama stuff everywhere. You know, we've got, of course, in Ghana, we sell, like I said, in a retail store there. Yeah, those are the main ones that stick out to me anyways. I'm sure there are more.
Well,
those are the main ones that are
Oh, my goodness. And a lot of the countries you mentioned are countries where there are Zonta clubs, and maybe we can work together with Zonta International, which is headquartered in Chicago, but has over 30,000 members in 66 countries.
Mm-hmm.
And Zonta's mission is to improve the status of women worldwide through service and advocacy, very big into women's empowerment programs. And so I think it's a good fit, and certainly also just creating greater awareness through the Zonta chapters. I know there's now an e-club that I'm part of, and we have members in 12 states and Canada. So I've been sharing the information with that group of people, and we'll continue to do so. And this coming summer, there will be an international convention in Orlando, Florida, with 3,000 to 4,000 women from around the world. So I'm hoping
Wonderful.
To bring products, Global Mama products, there and educate the various Zonta chapters about that. And for listeners who do not know what that organization is, it's Zonta, Z-O-N-T-A, .org, and you can read more about International Women's Day, and Zonta Rose Day, where various chapters are presenting yellow roses two outstanding women in various parts of the country and around the world. And we used to present them locally. We would show up at someone's office with a yellow rose, hand it to them, and say, thank you for doing a great job for women in the community. And it was like they won the lottery. They would just be so happy. They'd be crying, and no one's ever recognized me, and thank you so much. And,
oh, that's
and,
so fun.
And that was really fun to do, and I'll be doing a couple of those tomorrow, actually, here in St. Louis. But we're also now presenting them virtually with a picture of a yellow rose and honoring and picking some women. So I am picking you, Alice Grau, as one of the yellow rose recipients
well,
for Zonta Rose Day. You'll
That's
be getting
so
your virtual yellow rose
thank you.
On Facebook and in your email. But we are doing a press release, and we'll be listing the names of the recipients. And so your name will be on a list that will be sent out to all the media. And so maybe, you know, indirectly you might get some additional eyeballs from being on that press release. So, but it's true. There are a lot of women like yourself who are quietly wonderful, that are, you know, you're a mother of two children, and you know, you're going to be teaching those kids, I'm sure, about some of the values you have. I mean, are they old enough now to know about what mom does?
My oldest is two, and so he two and a half, and we do actually, we talk a lot about what mom does, and because my job does involve quite a bit of travel, and even at two, you know, kids know when mom or dad are gone. And
mm-hmm.
so we do, of course, talk about why mommy is gone, and we there's a really wonderful book that a woman named Ingrid Hess wrote, and the full it's called Fair Trade. I would have to look at the book, but it's written with children in mind, and I read that to my son quite a bit, and Global Mamas is indirectly featured in it. She traveled. She got a grant to travel to a variety of fair trade producers around the world and write about what they do and how each one of these organizations encompasses one of the specific goals of fair trade. You know, fair trade has these nine purposes and nine goals. So she highlights each one of those and then highlights an organization and directly what they do in that purpose. And so it's pretty neat to see, you know, that presented in a way where children can understand it, where I can sit down and read a book to my son in a fun way that highlights the importance of fair trade and why it makes a difference in the world. And it's a cute little book about these two, a daughter and a son, that go and buy a present for their mom at the local fair trade store. And it's a very sweet book.
Wow, that's great. Well, get us the name of that book. We'll post that. That sounds
absolutely
so neat. And, you know, and I love that you're balancing, you know, your faith and your desire to serve others with your creative interests. That's something I do as well with our jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of have our beads blessed, and it actually started with two sacred objects. We started with making mala beads. Well, actually, the very first thing we started with was my mother's rosary beads were broken in a car crash that she was killed in, and we first fixed those and then made mala beads, and we really love and have used beads from other countries all along, and so to be able to see the beads made up close, how they're produced, I mean, it gives you a new appreciation, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So many people, you know, they don't think about where their products come from. They go to a store, they buy whatever's on sale, and I know that sometimes we've had to educate people about why the cost of our pieces are maybe a little higher than something you find at the mall 2 for $10, because, you know, it's made with products that don't contain lead, or it's made, you know, with fair trade products, and, you know, people are getting, you know, but good quality as well, and it's important that that education continues, you know, because we certainly don't want to support industries that are taking advantage of people and using them. So what else should we know that we didn't cover about Global Mamas and about the work you do?
Oh my goodness, we talk so much about so much. You've done such a wonderful job of covering everything. I mean, we talked about the great volunteer program and the great opportunities available there. We talked about the great products and that they're available for sale. We talked about what I do, and I have I should highlight that I have a great team of people that I work with, including I have two designers that I work with that help develop the product, and then we have interns and volunteers like yourself that come in year-round and really invest their time and their creative energy, not just into the design, but also into the stuff behind the scenes, like setting up databases and, you know, training the women on how to do bookkeeping. And just, I mean, there's so many little pieces and parts that our staff could never manage to do by ourselves. And so we're just, you know, so incredibly grateful and in debt to all of the people that come and invest, you know, their time and their energy into making us even better every day. And that's how we're able to, you know, keep up with the best trends and the best products and, you know, the best functioning organization. You know, we're able to learn new things by these new people that come in and bring things that inspire us. So we're very fortunate to have that structure. And, of course, all of the energy that the women put into it, the mamas and the few papas, the few global papas that float around are just some of the most hardworking and talented creative people. And obviously they're investing their life into this organization and we're investing our lives into it so that they can create a better future for themselves and for their families and for ourselves and our families and, you know, and get the world on board with it. You know, further education and getting people to, like you said, really understand why the product costs more and why it's valuable, you know, why you want to invest that money into it. So there's a lot
well,
of...
I do want to say that people listening, a simple action they could take is go to Facebook, facebook.com/globalmamas, like their Facebook page, share it on your timeline, and get the word going that way.
Yes.
And on the Facebook page, there are some photos there. There's some discussions. And you also have a Twitter account. Is that true?
We do, yeah. Yeah, we have Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and YouTube videos as well.
Okay, Pinterest. Yeah, I did put something on Pinterest because I have a section on organizations I support. So I put something there. And I also have a board called Women I Admire or something like that, so I can put something there. So, I mean, I think through technology and social media, we all can be replicating and spreading the message. And I mean, it's just amazing to me how things are coming together because we just spoke for the first time this week, and I was online Googling about where to get the visa and found out that there is an organization based right here in St. Louis that is dedicated to the awareness and promoting a networking community of Ghanaian. How do you pronounce that word?
Ghanaian.
Ghanaian. I have to learn how to say that. Ghanaian network right here in my own backyard. And then last night, a friend of mine said, oh, I know someone who's connected to that organization, and here's their name and phone number. And then I go to look at their website, and there's another person's name there that's a sponsor, a State Farm agent who is one of their sponsors. And it's such a small world, and things fall into place. So those listening, you know, if you have a big dream, start acting on it, taking action. No dream is too big. You know, this month as we celebrate Women of History and International Women's Day on March 8th, you know, read some of the stories of some of the women that are in your field or someone that has inspired you. I was talking yesterday to someone who's a chiropractor, a woman chiropractor, and I said, who inspired you growing up? And she said, Helen Keller. I said, really? She goes, yes, I also know sign language. And I mean, I didn't even know this about this person, in addition to being a chiropractor, she does sign language. And so, you know, learn something new about someone from history, step out of your comfort zone, and live your life to the fullest, because you only get one life to live. So, well, thank you so much, Alice, and I look forward to meeting you in person someday. And I don't know when I'll have my money raised to go, but hopefully in the next couple of months, and we'll continue to support the work of Global Mamas.
Well, thank you so much for having us, Brenda. It was a real pleasure to learn a little bit about your connection with Ghana as well, and to get to share a little bit about our story. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And we're going to close out with some music from Ghana called High Life. It's by Michael Holmes. You can find it on YouTube. And it's really fun, fun music. Happy International Women's Day, everyone. Enjoy your weekend, and continue to keep up the good work. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Más nada más.